29. It was just something I was thinking about this week, Genesis chapter 29. And this is kind of an odd story. And I don't know how much we'll get through that. Genesis chapter 29 and verse 31. Genesis chapter 29 and verse 31. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the blessing we already had tonight in testimony and in song. Lord, thank you for Brother Tracy being able to be with us tonight. And thank you, Lord, that there's no affection in his leg. Lord, thank you for working in Sarah's life. Lord, that she is starting to feel better. And there's many more of our church members that are dealing with COVID right now. And I pray, Lord, that you would give them a peace in their heart. Lord, that they would, Lord, as you would help them. And Lord, that it would be evident that you're working in their heart and life. And Lord, we know whether it's COVID or some other thing or cancer, you are the great physician. Nobody knows our body better than you. You're the one that made it. And it's certainly within your ability to fix it. Lord, I just pray that you would look over each and every person. Pray for OB tonight and Bob Milhorn. And just asking, Lord, that you would protect those two guys, Lord, from getting this. They already have some problems breathing. And I just pray that you would let them know that we love them and just ask, Lord, you'd watch over them. And then there's so many more, Lord, that we've not seen, you know, some as much as 6-7 months, Lord. And I just pray that in your time we'd be able to get back together. In the meantime, I pray that you'd give us something from your word, an encouragement to be able to move on in the world that we live in. And as Bucky pointed out, Lord, we still have a job to do. And Lord, it's we're your arms and feet. And Lord, I pray that you would use us this week. Lord, thank you for being kind, loving, and forgiving to us. And I just pray you'd help us to open our hearts to you tonight. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. In Genesis chapter 29, it says this, "And the Lord saw that Leah was hated. He opened her womb, but Rachel was barren." I'm going to stop there before we read any more. You know the story that Jacob had two wives, not on purpose. You know, he worked, he fell in love with Rachel, and the idea was to marry her. And then at the last minute, his father-in-law did a change-up, and he ended up marrying. You know, there's a lot about Jewish customs that I don't understand, to be honest with you. I don't understand how you marry the wrong person. You know, I don't know how that took place. Now, it helped me to understand a little bit when I went to a wedding in Africa, and the custom might be that she had to be covered up that whole entire night. You would think that, you know, you would be able to tell the difference in their voice. But I do believe the Bible, and the Bible says he married the wrong person. I also know the Bible says he didn't realize it till the next morning. Now, how all that transpires, you'd have to get deeper into their culture. But it happened, right? And then he woke up the next morning, and it says that Leah was tender-eyed. And I guess that'd be a polite way to say that she was comely or maybe not as pretty as her sister. That's the reason why he didn't go for her to begin with, but that's what happened. And now they're in their culture, they were legally married. And so the father came and said, "Okay, well, if you work 7 more years, I'll give you my other daughter, which was Rachel." So now you got Leah and Rachel married to the same person. They're sisters, right? And she knows that she's not loved as much as Rachel. And that's where you pick it up in verse 31. "And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son. And she called his name Reuben, for she said, 'Surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me.'" Now, one thing that we know is we can count on the Bible. It says here that the reason why this happened is that the Lord saw that Leah was hated. God saw that she was in a position that she could not control. He saw that there was a circumstances that was beyond her ability. And the God of grace came in and leveled the playing field like only he can do. Okay? Jacob was treating her different than he was treating Rachel, because he didn't even really like Leah. The whole thing saying in his mind should have never happened, and there was all kinds of emotions there. Leah is stuck in that situation and can't do anything about it, but understand God could do something about it, and he did, because he's not limited to any of those boundaries. We're limited. He's not. So he stepped in, and ironically, he opened her womb. Now, Rachel couldn't have any children. Who do you think did that? You know, so God reached down from heaven, opened one womb, and shut another. And he did that because he wanted Leah to know that he was aware of that injustice, and it wasn't right. And God helped make it right. And not only, and you can listen to what she said. It says, and she conceived, in verse 32, and Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. So she again, do you think God would let her give credit to him if he didn't do it? So not only did it once, but he did it again. And she's saying, he did this because I'm hated. He gave me another son because it's still going on. Okay? Goes on to say this. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. And she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing. All right, now this story goes a little bit more. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. And he said, am I in God's stead who hath withheld thee the fruit of the womb? He's saying, you know, this is something that I didn't do. This is something that God did. And she said, behold, my maid Belial, go unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees that I may also have children by her. And she gave him Belial, her handmaid, to wife. And Jacob went unto her. And Belial conceived and bare Jacob a son. And Rachel said, God hath judged me and has also heard my voice and hath given me a son. Therefore called she his name Dan. And if you read this, they kind of go back and forth. Then Leah takes her handmaid and gives it to Jacob. And they have a son. And then Leah... And then there's that whole mandrake situation where one of her sons go out and get this mandrake, and Rachel wanted them, and so they came up to an agreement that, so then she went into her husband again, and she was able to conceive. And then at the end of all of that, you know, now Leah has several children. I want you to look at verse 22. And God remembered Rachel. And God hearkened to her and opened her womb. So although Rachel did not handle that thing right, but how can you imagine being married to the same guy and your sisters? All right, could you imagine the turmoil that would cause in the home and the jealousy that was there, but your sisters? And then that's just something that we can't even wrap our mind around. But God from heaven saw that that wasn't right, and what did he do? He insulated Leah from things she could not control. And God came in an area and was able to make up for that with his grace. You see that mentioned with Paul when he talks about a thorn in the flesh. And he went and asked God to remove that three times, and God told him no. But what God did, he didn't leave him to just deal with that problem. What he did is he insulated him from that problem, and he wrapped him in the grace of God. And the grace of God insulated him from the pain and the pressure of that problem to the point where Paul said his grace is sufficient. It did what it was supposed to do. It wrapped his arms around me and took away the effect of this thorn in the flesh. And although Leah is still married to somebody that really doesn't even love her, you know, the love of God came into her life, wrapped his arms around her, and insulated her from those personal feelings by something happening that only God could do. And she knew she wasn't by herself. But it didn't leave out Rachel. See, Rachel really didn't ask for this either. right? This was something that her dad came up with. So now Leah's in this problem. She's married to the same guy her sister's with, and she didn't ask for that. Now, she didn't really do well by handling the emotions, and she treated her sister in a way that she shouldn't have done it, and she said that God judged her. But aren't you glad that he also, the Bible says this, and wanted you to know this, and he remembered Rachel, because he looked down and saw how painful it was for her not to have children and for her to have to deal with that hurt, that he reached down and he insulated Rachel from that situation that she couldn't control. And the grace of God, when she was able to bear a child, that grace was what protected her from the pain from around that, was the fact that she was insulated. Now, Maggie, do you have that? Jonathan, can you bring me, where'd you go? Did you bring that in the church? Yeah, I need that. Can Jonathan go get it? I can keep preaching. Wait, what did you think I was going to do? All right, I'll keep doing it, and then we'll do this. I'll do this illustration. Let's go on while she's getting me that. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 12, if you would. 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23. 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. And this is when David lost his son when he had that affair with Bathsheba. She became pregnant. We know the story. We're going to pick it up in verse 21. Then said his servants unto him, "What is this thing that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive. But when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread." And he said, "While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife. Now think about this story. What a mess, right? I mean, he shouldn't even be married to Bathsheba. He had lots of wives. Bathsheba only had one husband. And you know the story. He saw her taking a bath and he lusted after her. They ended up having an affair. And because of that, she got pregnant. That obviously was going to be a big problem. David tried to hide that by bringing home her husband from battle, but he was a man of character, and he said, "I can't go in to my wife with my men on the field," so he didn't do that. They even tried getting him drunk, hoping that by doing so he would let his guard down, and he didn't do that. Okay? And then so David had a problem and ended up having that man killed on the battlefield. You talk about a mess. And now she's pregnant. Then it's exposed, okay? And David is feeling all of this, and God told him that the child wasn't going to live. And he's fasting, and he's praying, and he's weeping, and he's crying. And because of something that he did in his life, a decision that he's made, he's feeling the full brunt of that. Then the child dies. And he gets word of it, and he gets up, he cleans off, he puts on regular clothes, and everybody wants to know, "Hey, what are you doing? You know, you before, when the child was alive, you're mourning. Now that the child's dead, you're walking around, you know, and you're going on with your life." And he shares this. He said, "God help me." He said, "I can't go. The child can't come to me, but I can go to the Father." See, there was immense pain in his life right then that he could do nothing about. And the Word of God and the truth of God and the promises of God reached down and insulated David from something that should have caused him to be down and be beat up. And instead, he wrapped that grace around him. And that grace insulated the full brunt of a bad decision because God gave him a promise. Can you just imagine God reaching down from heaven and saying, "David, I know. And you're right. I could even fix this. But it's okay, I got him. And he's doing good. And he's running around heaven. And one day you're going to see him again. And David took that truth that he knew from the Word of God, and he wrapped him in himself in that, and that insulated him. Okay, Jonathan, can you bring me that? I can come get it. You know, now, I've done illustrations before that have gone bad. You know, I told you one time that, Chris, can you come up here for me? The, the one time I was trying to preach on hell, and this was early on when I was a young preacher. I got a frying pan, an electric frying pan, and I heated it up really bad, and I wanted to show what it was like to drip a drop of water and have it evaporate. It almost burnt down the pulpit. That was a bad idea. Then I was preaching on, turn the other cheek, about holding back your anger, and I wanted to show that it's possible to turn the other cheek. So I had one of the guys, and I had a hard time finding somebody in church that was willing to hit me in church because I didn't want to do that. Well, I had Mike said he'd do it. So I had a guy slap me, but I'm telling you what, he hauled off. I said, look, you got to do it when I'm not expecting it. He hauled off. I mean, I had an instant migraine. And as soon as that happened, I thought, that's a bad idea. I'm never going to do that again. You know, hopefully this won't go that way. But I do want to, and I was sitting there, and this idea came to my mind. You just have to trust me. Yeah. Okay. Hey, there, you know how to light this better than I do. Light that for me, would you? There you go. All right. So, no, I get that. Okay, can you put your hand out for me? Okay, now would you let me run this over your hand?
No.
Why?
Hot.
Okay, and I mean it is really hot. Now he I wouldn't do that. Number one, I think I'd catch his coat on fire. All right, but what I wanted to do is I wanted to put this on. All right. Now I was sitting in the woods. Sometimes when you think about it, I was sitting in the woods this week hunting, and it was cold. It's like 16 degrees. I got up. I put on 3 pairs of pants and then an insulated bib overall. I put on 4 pairs of socks, had to take one off because I couldn't move my feet. So then I put on winter boots and then this Arctic shield over my boot. I had 3 coats on, 2 beanie caps, and a cup of coffee. Okay, about had a heart attack getting in a tree stand because I had all this weight on. And I sat down on a log in 16 degrees and I didn't feel a thing. I mean, it was crunchy out, freezing cold, and there I was just enjoying the day, totally unaffected by what was around me. Now, go ahead and put this on now. Hopefully, he brought the right one. But hey, you're a metal worker. Certainly, you've used this before, right? Now, is this the best part to do that on?
Yeah, we're gonna
All right. Okay. Now, can you feel that?
No.
You can't feel that.
No.
Even though, I mean, you can see that is, can you tell me when you feel it? Can you feel it?
No.
No? Can you feel it?
No.
Why can't you feel it? Now, I'm telling you, that's hot. I mean, I can't, ooh. I can't leave my fingers on there. It's that hot, you know? I mean, there you go. I have to let go. Let me do that again. Now, I want you to think about this. There is something here that could hurt him. If he took this off, how long do you think he could take that? I mean, you can run your hand over it, but after that, you stop for any length of time, you're going to want out of there. But a man-made material sitting here is keeping him from feeling that because he's insulated. And I can put this on, and although everything should say he should be in pain or he should jerk his hand, he's able to withstand something that he couldn't if he didn't have that glove on. And I just thought about what God did for Leah here. Hey, this isn't going off. Fix that. Either that or take it out and throw it in the yard there. There you go. I was sitting there and I was thinking about that. And I thought about this truth that we just saw in the Bible. And you can continue that on throughout the Bible. Whenever you see something like, so the Bible says, to never give place to the devil, right? So we're not supposed to give the devil an opportunity. We know that truth, and then we come to Job. And Job says he made a covenant with his eyes that he wouldn't look on a maiden. All right? So he took the word of God, and he insulated. He said, out there, there's temptations. I don't want to fall in that temptation. So what did Job do as he went out through his life? Before he would go outside, he wrapped himself in something. And that is a truth from the word of God. He said, I made a covenant with my eyes that I would not look on a maiden. That simple truth insulated him. And as he was going out in a world that's toxic and has lots of pitfalls, there was something around him that was keeping him safe when other people weren't safe. And what was that? The truth in the word of God that insulated him and protected him. If I can get so dressed up that I can take 16 degree temperature and be hot, you know, I thought, there's no reason this world has to hurt me. I may not control what is around me. I can't control the way everybody else lives. I can't certainly control a virus. I can't control the fact that one day I'm going to die. I can't control the fact that sin is destructive and it always hurts. I can't control that even my own sin has consequences. All I can tell you is that God can insulate us from that. He can. What he did for Leah here is he reached down, he wrapped himself around that problem, and what normally should have hurt her didn't hurt her. She can say, hey, God cares because he did this. You know, I am not alone. God did that. And this situation that was bad all of a sudden was bearable, not because she did anything, but because God was insulating her. Do you know that God can insulate you from bitterness? He did that with Stephen. Stephen had every right. He's being stoned to death. And what does he say? He says, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they do. Now, where did he get that idea to even say something like that? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. On that day, what should have been something that he should be lashing out, he wasn't. How did he do that? The grace of God reached down from heaven and wrapped that young man in something very special. And that insulated him. You know, you don't have to get angry and sin. You know, you don't have to say hurtful words. You know, we don't have to let the world change us. We have to function in this world. We have to live in this world. But it doesn't have to affect you because you can be insulated. And God's word is what insulates us. It's what can actually take the pain of a broken world and remove the hurt from that. Because that's why Paul said, his grace is sufficient. Although you say, Paul, it's still there. He said, but I can't. Here's what Paul would say, but I can't feel it. Because there's something wrapped around me that's bigger than that. And the effect of that is stronger than what's going on in my life. He said, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. Because that's what was insulating, that's what was protecting him. This Bible is an insulating layer. If we would just embed our life into that, then every element of our life could be wrapped in this. Do you think we all have a flesh. Has anybody ever got worked up before? Or am I the only human being that does so? you know, sometimes to the point where I know that I'm going into a situation, perhaps that maybe I can get a little ramped up, I keep telling myself, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. You know, many times failed attempts at that, you know, and get upset that I can turn a corner so fast. I don't like that. But can I tell you something that, you know, stopping and thinking like, you know, maybe I'm not the most important thing in the world, and maybe it doesn't have to be my way, and maybe, you know, it helps you think like that. And you can wrap yourself in that, and those feelings that want to bull up really fast, and you just want to, you know, get your two cents in. You know what? That barrier can actually help that not get out. You know, if you got a few layers of that, you might could stop it before it goes any further. I'm gonna tell on my son. Is that right, Jonathan? Like, what's he gonna do? I haven't used him for an illustration in a long time. He was eating in Ohio, and it was on Mother's Day, and he carried a gun, and went to go get out of the car, and his wife, her sweater, his gun was underneath the armrest, and she went to move, and that gun went off in the truck. Yes, in the truck. And could you just imagine, boom, and then closed the vehicle, you know? And he's trying to figure out what happened. Her sweater accidentally pulled the hammer back, and that 9mm went off. It shot through the seatbelt, busted that, and lodged into his hip. Now, it didn't like, now he say it penetrated a little bit, but, you know, he didn't go to the doctor. I mean, it burnt him good, you know? I mean, he knew something happened, but he didn't have to go to the doctor. Why? Because there was something between. Now, I'm sure that woke him up a little bit, right? You know, I don't even know how he made it through dinner after being shot in the hip. Well, with a 9mm and the seatbelt didn't work after that. But what stopped that? There was something between him and the full impact of that event. And may I tell you something? I can just tell you this. Thank God there is something that's between us and the full impact of this world, and that's this. And this will insulate you if you'll use it. You know what? If you're lonely, wrap this. The truth that's in this Bible can help insulate you. If depression's setting in, we see a lot of that, and it's starting to ramp up a little bit more. Do you know? And I believe that's a real deal. But I also believe that you can insulate yourself from that. You know, the Bible talks about... Well, let's look at this really quick, if I can find it. It is in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. Do you believe it when the Bible says everything? Do you think it means everything? Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And listen to this. And the peace of God. What kind of peace is that? It passes all understanding. That means if you tried to figure out the healing properties into the peace of God, you wouldn't be able to solve the equation that makes that happen. Because it's beyond anything that I can understand. But it says, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. Amen. Through Christ Jesus. And for the sake of this message, you can say it insulates you. Yeah. Right? It insulates you. And if there's ever been a time we needed to be insulated, it is today. Okay? I can't control all of the peripheral things out there. All I know is that what even if it is in something like the loss of a child that David went through, you would ask David, why are you eating? And you know what he did? He actually went and comforted his wife. Could you imagine how she feels? I mean, what a mess. She's beating herself up. She's crying. She just lost a baby. David learned something from the Lord and was able to go into her and sit with his wife. And how do you comfort somebody like that? Could you just picture David saying, we'll get to see him one day. And then, who was her next child? Yeah. You think that was accidental? Mm-mm. That was not accidental. You know, God had to do something that he didn't take great pleasure in. And it hurt. You think he took great pleasure in watching David suffer over the loss of that baby? No. You know what he did? After David repented, God reached down and not only gave him a son, but made that son a king. And later came the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's pretty cool, right? And the one that gets the credit behind all of that is the peace of God that passes all understanding, that even when it's our fault, you can still insulate yourself. And that's just who he is. So whenever you think about all this stuff, it's just think about this story. A young lady caught in a mess she could not control. And then the God of heaven reached down and did something so, there's no other way. She knew it was from God. She gave him the credit, and she said, God has not forgotten me. You know, our young people, that's a minefield out there. And the only way your kids get out there, you know, you can insulate them. You can give them a protection around them that only the Bible, you know, following this book and living the way that it asks us to do, man, it'll keep you from a lot of hurt and a lot of pain. They don't have to walk helpless out there in the world and get their head taken off. They don't. Do you know you do not have to feel the full brunt of sin and the ugliness and the dirtiness of everything out there to appreciate the love of God? You can do it from a Bible story. You don't have to wreck your life and get it rescued to get saved. You know, the idea is for them to listen when they're younger and to avoid those pitfalls. You don't have to do that. They can actually insulate themselves from the junk that's out there if they'll just get a hold of this, right? And that just like can, so you can imagine tomorrow. I don't know what's out there. I don't know what's out there for you. I don't know what's out there to me. I saw on Facebook this morning there was a little thing where there's a bunch of people standing in line and there's bodies floating up one by one in different levels. And they said, we're all in line. There's people in front of us and there's people behind us. You can't get out of line. You can't go to the back and you can't move to the front. You got to stay. The problem is we don't know how many people's in front of us, but we're all in line. Well, that's the truth. You know, car accident, cancer, whatever. Problems with people, problems in life. I have no idea what turn that you're going to take or what road I have to go down. I don't know those things. I just know that I am thankful for that story because that shows me, just like Chris's hand, there's something that I can do. There is a insulation in Christ that would allow the full brunt of a flame of life directed right at me. And God insulate that. Your deepest hurt, your deepest pain, your deepest struggle, your deepest heartache, God cares and he can insulate you from that if you let him. Okay, let's stand if you would. And our brother, can you share, your dad, can you lead us in prayer? Can you lead us in prayer, brother?
Father,